The Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he is lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel, to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Lesson 55, Seeking Spiritual Light. In today's lesson, we shall learn about the blessing and rewards of seeking spiritual light, and the folly and condemnation of those who refuse to receive spiritual light. We shall learn that God delights to respond to our earnest prayers. Also, we shall see how seeking signs will bring God's displeasure and condemnation, because God has already given spiritual light to those who are willing to see. When the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus teaches them a model prayer, which is commonly known to us as the Lord's Prayer. These men were seeking spiritual light, and the Lord was glad to respond to their request. We could learn much from a careful study of this prayer, but for the sake of time, let's just simply observe that our prayer should always put God first and His kingdom before our own needs. We also should be thankful and praise our God because He is our provider of daily bread. He is merciful to forgive us our debts, and He is our great protector from temptation and from evil. We need His grace and help every day, and so we ought to pray each day and praise Him each day. Jesus also taught that God will reward those who are persistent in prayer, and that when we ask, seek, and knock, God is pleased to give, reveal, and open a way. God loves to hear us pray, and as a good father, He knows how to bless His children with good things. When some accuse Jesus of casting demons out by the power of Beelzebub, Jesus rebukes their folly. Jesus points out that it would not make sense for Satan to cast himself out, for why would he fight against himself? Jesus points out that only someone stronger than Satan could cast out Satan, and this gave evidence to who Jesus really was. Jesus had cast out a demon from a mute man and was also doing many good works. This should have been enough spiritual light to convince everyone that he was God's Messiah. Yet with this spiritual light available, they could not see clearly because they had diseased eyes. Jesus said that the eyes were the light of the body. That is, the eyes allowed the light to enter into the man so he could understand the truth. The fact that Jesus was doing mighty miracles and overthrowing Satan and his demons should have made it obvious that Jesus had God's power working in him. If their eyes were clear and healthy, then the spiritual light would enter in. But because they could not see clearly, the spiritual light was not able to enter in. Their eyes were sick. They were blind to the obvious. When they ask Jesus to perform a sign, they are admitting their state of blindness, for Jesus had been doing many miracles, but they refused to acknowledge or see the signs He had already given. Jesus has to tell them that it is an evil generation that seeks for a sign. He also pointed out that only the sign of Jonah would be given to them. While they could not see clearly any other sign through His miracles, the resurrection, which is the same as the sign of Jonah, would be more than enough proof to His true identity as their Messiah. If they would not believe in Him after He was raised from the dead, then nothing He would do would ever be able to convince them to surrender to His authority. Jesus condemns the generation that was seeking for a sign, saying that all the guilt of the former generations would come upon them. For they of all people had the greatest evidence of God's power working among them, and yet they stubbornly refused to see and accept Jesus as God's chosen one. Jesus said that the queen of the south and Nineveh would be used to condemn them, for they had been given evidence and believed. When the queen of Sheba visited Solomon and saw the glory of his kingdom and all his wisdom, she was very impressed and knew that God had blessed Solomon above all other kingdoms. When Jonah preached in Nineveh, the people believed his words and repented. These all responded to what was revealed to them. They responded to the spiritual light God had provided to them, even though it was such a smaller light than the light provided by Jesus to those who witnessed His many miracles. That is why the Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites will be just in condemning that generation, which was so much more privileged to have a greater light but refused to accept the light. When a Pharisee invites Jesus to dine in his house, he marvels that Jesus did not wash his hands to eat. Jesus knew his heart and shows him the fault of his thinking. For cleansing the outside is meaningless when the inside is not clean. What Jesus was trying to get across was that while Pharisees were trying to look good on the outside, they were unclean on the inside, for they were full of greed, pride, and evil thoughts. Jesus then pronounces woes against the Pharisees and lawyers for all their religious hypocrisy. Jesus does not withhold the ugly truth of the corruption and evil within these men, but exposes their sin, speaking plainly about their hypocrisy. Jesus speaks about their hidden corruptions, their attention to details of a law, while missing the main point of God's law to love and do justice. He said they honor the dead prophets, but they were no different from their fathers who murdered the prophets because they were seeking to destroy the greatest prophet of all. They wanted to extinguish the spiritual light by getting rid of Jesus. Jesus' words made these men very angry, and they were trying desperately to find some way to accuse him. If only they could have accepted the spiritual light that God had sent to them, then God could forgive and cleanse them. I do hope that you have accepted the spiritual light that God has provided to you through His Word by accepting Jesus as Lord of your life. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Luke chapter 11, verse 35. Our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. And now for today's Bible question. Today we've been learning about receiving spiritual light. We saw how the disciples wanted to learn how to pray and to conform their lives to the light that was given to them. We also learned how the Pharisees refused the light God had provided and asked to see a sign. Jesus rebuked their folly and warns of their condemnation. Someone might ask the question, what did Jesus mean by the light in us being darkness? In Luke chapter 11, verse 35, it says, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. This statement seems rather confusing, for how can light be called darkness? We need to understand that Jesus is talking about spiritual light. Spiritual light is a revelation given to us by God. This comes to us through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit helping us to understand and see the truth. The seeing is what should happen if we have good spiritual eyes. We can have good spiritual eyes when we are ready to hear God speak and are willing to accept and obey what we learn from God. For instance, if a person did not understand that God desires them not to use the Lord's name in vain, and then they read their Bible and hear God say, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain, and they are convinced about it and therefore stop committing this sin, then they have received spiritual light and accepted it by being obedient. While Jesus performed so many miracles for others to see, it was as though a great light was shining for everyone to see. If anyone had good spiritual eyes, they would see and understand that Jesus was sent from God, and they would gladly follow Him, learn from Him, and obey Him. But if their eyes were damaged, so that the light could not enter into them, then they would be full of darkness. If we think of spiritual light as God's revelation and understanding of the mind of God, then we can appreciate that those who refuse to accept Jesus as God's Messiah were refusing a clear revelation from God. They did have some revelation from Scripture, but had misunderstood it and added it to their own ideas, which were not from God at all, but from their own evil desires. Thus the spiritual light inside of them was not God's light, but their own folly, which they believed was God's truth, but was just their own darkness. Here darkness needs to be understood as man's false understandings and his false religious ideas. So when Jesus says the light in them is darkness, what he meant was that the false religious ideas that were guiding some people were not God's light, as they might have thought, but was man's light, which is not light at all, but darkness. It might seem a bit confusing to understand, but perhaps another illustration can help us to get the point. Imagine if I thought it was okay to take some herbal medicine to cure me of a sickness. But when I went to the doctor, he told me that the herbal medicine was not good for me and that I should take the medicine that he prescribed. Now, I could choose to follow the doctor's advice because he is a trained professional, or I could decide to go with the herbal medicine in hopes that it will help me. If I refuse to listen to the doctor who knows best what medicine I need, then I am refusing to accept the doctor as a qualified professional. I'm saying that all of his learning and training are not as important to me as my understanding and beliefs about herbal remedies. My pride has blinded me to the truth, and darkness is ruling inside of me. However, if I accept the doctor is much wiser and more knowledgeable about my condition, and trust his advice and follow it, then I am allowing his knowledge to enter in and be my guide. I have accepted the light of his knowledge, and I am made well through his help. So Jesus is trying to teach us that we need to acknowledge that he is much wiser and more knowledgeable than we are, and we can trust in his guidance. We have plenty of evidence to assure us that he is qualified to govern our lives and make us God's children because of all his good works and miracles. If we accept the light that God has given to us through Jesus, then we shall be made well, and God's light will be in us. I do hope that you are allowing the light of the gospel to penetrate into your heart, and that you have received Jesus by faith. Don't allow darkness to rule in your life, but commit your life to Jesus and receive God's light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans 10:9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.